sermon text from today's epistle reading. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So tomorrow is Backpack Day in ZLS. Backpack Day. What does that mean? It means that tomorrow evening the students are going to drop their school supplies off at school, meet the teachers, see their classrooms and where they're sitting, maybe meet in the gym for a little talk from the principal and the school board chairman and some other folks. Something like that. They're getting to go to school for the first time after summer, right? And it's just like they're getting, well, not just like they're getting ready, they are getting ready for school on Wednesday. And it's just like our fifth through eighth graders. Have you ever noticed that? Like, if you're not, well, when you're raising them, you don't notice them growing that much. I mean, sure, they eat you out of house and home. They always need new shoes, and their pants are always too small, which is the glorious thing about summer. You get to put them in shorts, and you don't have to worry about jeans that only hit their ankles. So, but if you look at a fifth grader through an eighth grader, they have just shot up over the summer. It is absolutely amazing how fast that happens. And it's absolutely amazing how fast the summer goes and how fast it is to turn around and go back to the school year. Teachers all across the county and in many other places are in their classrooms. They're cleaning. They're decorating. They're making bulletin boards that are going to match their theme of the year. Teachers' meetings have been happening or will be happening. And without a doubt, despite what other people may say, I am sure many students are chomping at the bit to get back into the classroom, to get back at school. And, you know, this is that time of year. The weather's changing just a little bit. Even, dare I say, even retired teachers are thinking, you know, I kind of miss the classroom. And then they go golfing and they forget all about that. But they do, just right now. They're missing the classroom just a little bit, and it because they've been taught for so many years. It's just in the air. It's a vibe that's all around. Now, I have maintained, and I will continue to maintain, that every school in Logan County is going to give the children who are in that school a good education. Yes, there are minute differences in the schools, but with a combination of diligent teachers, engaged parents, and students who are willing to work, each school produces students who can read, write, and do math. They can apply themselves to a number of other disciplines. And that being said, if that is the case, then why, pray tell, does our congregation work so hard to maintain a Lutheran school within our midst? And believe me, it is a lot of hard work. It's a lot of work for our staff. It's a lot of work for our parents. It's a lot of work for our congregational members. And it is by no means an inexpensive venture to operate and maintain a school in our midst. So why? What's the big deal? What's the difference? What is about it? Well, to put things very bluntly, we get to tell and teach our students about Jesus. And that doesn't get to be happening in every single school. We get to engage not just their minds, but we also get to engage their souls. We have the privilege of being the vessel or the vehicle for the Holy Spirit to engage these young people with the purpose of forming and shaping them into a godly person, into a godly citizen, forming and starting the base for them to go out into the world to be godly employees for somebody or godly employers for somebody. And no amount of head knowledge, no amount of math or reading or science can form or shape the soul of the spirit of a person into a godly manner. That takes the Word of God. It takes meeting Jesus to do that. And therein is the fundamental difference in a Christian education, in a Christian school, in a Lutheran school, There the students get to meet Jesus. Dr. Jensen, one of my history professors when I was in undergraduate school, was very fond of saying, "People are wretches." And he'd repeat that over and over again. People are wretches. And that seems to me to be a joking way of saying that we each have an old Adam. That is, by nature, we are all blind, dead, and enemies of God. We are alienated from God to such an extent that we can't imagine doing the things of God. In fact, we are by nature, as St. Paul says, darkened in our understanding. Today, St. Paul points out for us that the unrenewed pagan, the unbeliever, is like. The mind of natural man does not lead to the goal. What is the goal? What does Jesus say? No, not to lose anyone who the Father has given him, but raise them up on the last day. Natural man is darkened to that goal. The mind of natural man does not lead to communion with God. Instead, it leads to nothing. It's a wild goose chase full of empty delusions and going astray. The pagan mind, the unbelieving mind, is a mind that is lost in darkness. And Scripture often envisions this darkness as a being, as an evil power, or a monstrous darkening of the understanding of those who reject Christ at worst and who do not know him at best. Either way, the natural person is filled with darkness where there should be light. This darkness, this blindness is all around us, and it fills much of our culture. It can be found where people deny the light of the Holy Scriptures, the Scriptures that teach forgiveness, the Scriptures that teach life and salvation in Jesus Christ. These Scriptures are derided by many. They are mocked by others. People claim that there is no God, but that is not true. Man always has a God. A God is that to which we look for all good. So either you have the God of the Bible, or you have another God, or you have made yourself out to be God. You're either worshiping the God of self, or have given yourself over to demonic forces. In many places today, the enlightened claim that man is not a special creation of God, but rather man is a product of random chance, that man is evolved from the lower animals, meaning we are just one animal among many other animals. And not a moral creature either, but a predator motivated by self-interest or a virus to be stomped out at all costs and eradicated. We are told that males can become females and females can become males, that some can't even bring themselves to say what a woman is or what does it mean to be woman. Others can't decide when life begins or when a person becomes a person or when a human being becomes a person or when a human being is even there in the womb at all. We argue and fight about that. We have instituted a culture of death and we have embraced it as good and noble and blessed. For heaven's sake, the legal, duly elected government of our state promotes gambling and drug use for the sake of tax revenue and forgetting all about the evils of addiction of every kind. And so here we stand on the edge of darkness. We are the ones who have been rescued from the darkness and have met the giver of life and light. We have in us as a gift the life of God. By the grace of God the Father, we have learned of Jesus Christ. And we have learned to know him. To learn Christ is way more than having a head knowledge about Jesus, what years he was alive, where he lived, what was the geography. To learn to know Christ is to more than just learning his doctrine. It means to embrace Jesus. It means to embrace him in all that makes Jesus, Jesus. Jesus says, "I am the truth." And there is truth in Jesus. He is truth. And far from our own current philosophy of each person has their own truth, which is no different than Pontius Pilate saying, "What is truth?" You remember Jesus standing before Pilate in the judgment hall, and Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus says to him, You say that I am a king, and for this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And that's when Pilate said, "What is truth?" meaning you say one thing's true. So this philosophy of I have my truth and you have your truth, it's nothing new. It's been around since the beginning. But Jesus is the truth. Jesus in himself is truth. There is truth in Jesus. Jesus who lived and labored and died and rose again here on earth. The true faith that says, true faith says, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is the Christ. He is truth. In Christ we have put on a new self, created in the image and likeness and holiness of God. And living a righteous and holy life simply means really that we are going to battle our old Adam all of our days. And that we are constantly being renewed day by day, again and again. Because we are both saint and sinner at the same time. And we will battle our old sinful self until the day we are called to our heavenly reward. And there to wait the resurrection of the dead and life everlasting. When we're called from this life to the next life, then we will be fully perfected. But here in this life, we're going to fight. We're going to battle. We're going to push back and forth against our old Adam and our new man. So let's bring this back to school. A teacher. Any teacher. Any teacher who is a Christian will seek to be a model of what is good and right and moral in God's eyes, as they labor within the boundaries that have been set for them by the government. However, our school is different. There within our walls, within the walls of Zion Lutheran School, you, our staff, have the privilege and the responsibility of bringing children to meet Jesus, to bring Christ to the students, to bring Christ to the students' families, just like Philip and Nathaniel, when Philip said to Nathaniel, "We found him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote." And when his brother asked about it, Nathaniel asked about it, his simple answer was, "Come and see." That's the extra added thing you get to do within the walls of Zion Lutheran School. Come and see. Come and see Jesus. You get to be an example of patience and love and care and diligence and devotion for our students and for our families. It's the goal of our school and of our congregation to, as long as we can, keep established among us an environment where students and families can come and meet Jesus, that they might live as children of the light and be strengthened for a life of fidelity to Jesus Christ. That is the difference. That is what you're getting ready to do. That is what you'll be doing for the next 9 months. And may the Lord bless you in your endeavors. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.